kickoff luncheon for them was a huge deal. I mean,
Boone Pickens is there, Jerry said. And Boone Pickens over here, he lost all his money and went through all that whole deal, and now he's got $4 billion. And he's sitting next to Mom. He says, it's only three. I'm Wade Phillips.
And I'm Wes Phillips. We're past and present coaches here to bring you an insider's perspective on the teams, the people, and the personalities that we've encountered over time.
All right, we've had a standalone episode just about the Dallas Cowboys and talking about our time there, some of the seasons, some of the things that specifically happened with us. But we thought it would be just to brush by and not get to talk a little bit more about just Jerry Jones, the owner. Obviously, one of the best characters in the league as far as ownership and puts himself out there. I know, you know, what he's said to you in the past is any publicity is good publicity.
Yeah, that's right. Jerry certainly has a knack for business. He certainly has, and you talked about it earlier about we didn't turn in the draft choice to the last second just so the Cowboys get their full 15 minutes or 10 minutes out there. But, I mean, he's always thinking of those kind of things, keeping the Cowboys, America's team, alive. And he's certainly a personality. I mean, you can say what you want. The guy is a really personable guy. I mean, he's fun to be around. If you're ever around him a lot, you're going to like him. There's no doubt about that. He fired me, so what? I still like him because he said he'd let me ride on his $250 million yacht sometime. So I'm going to say good things about him until he doesn't.
I mean, he hired Dave Campo. You know, while we were there, you hired Dave Campo, but a guy who was formerly a head coach for him that he fired and brought back. And there is a kind of a sense when you're there that because it is a family business, because it is the Jones family, but there is kind of a sense of family there where once you're a cowboy, once you've been a cowboy, you're kind of always in that family a little bit.
Yeah, they bring you in that way. I mean, like you said before, we had a dinner with the whole family when they hired me and brought in my family and had dinner with them, and they treat it that way, and it makes it really good that way. And that part of it, anytime you have to fire one of your family, though, I'm sure it's not as good. It's just like when they asked me about, you know, you, I hired you. Certainly it wasn't hard to hire you, but I couldn't fire you, that's for sure. Because it's a little bit different, because I'd have to fire you, then I'd have to fire my daughter-in-law and my grandkids, and I couldn't do that. So you were always in good shape, whether you knew that or not.
Oh, well, no, I didn't, but you should have told me that. Now, everything, you know, the saying, everything's bigger in Texas, Big D, Dallas, everything really is bigger with the Cowboys, right? And Jerry wants it that way. I mean, the kickoff luncheon that teams have. I mean, I've been on staffs and places where the coaches didn't even have to go unless you're a coordinator or the head coach, or it wasn't like a big deal, maybe in a little ballroom or something. I mean, this is...
Yeah, they make it a big deal, but a big deal for those teams, those other teams that I've been with are not even close to a big deal with Jerry Jones. And his, like you say, when the kickoff luncheon is so much bigger than any other one you went to.
Well, yeah, I mean, when I ended up leaving there, I mean, they were having it at the stadium, on the field. You know, they had all the tables that people pay for, plates or whatever, on the field. And the whole team and staff, one by one, got announced and walk across the field. I mean, it's a big event. You know, he's got the Christmas party that the coaches are supposed to make an appearance at. I mean, this Christmas party wasn't always planned with our best
schedule, yeah.
Best night.
Yeah.
And this is in season, and I remember they say, hey, you got to make an appearance. And they're great parties. I mean, they're I wish I could have stayed longer.
Yeah.
But, you know, we would end up going from our facility at the time in Irving and then leaving the office, putting on your suit or whatever, going over to the stadium, spending your time at the party, you know, with your wife, and then I'm telling Anna, okay, I got to go. And then going back to the office to finish what needed to be done that night.
Right, and that's a pretty good haul. Like you said, it's a 40, 45 minutes.
Well, yeah, I mean, he would also have us practice there
Right, which surprised me because we're practicing in our facility and it's easy to go out and practice and go back and forth. And he'd come in and say, hey, you're going to practice at the stadium today. And I said, oh, we are? To get that practice all the way to the stadium is like I say, it's 40, 45 minutes. Had to get the buses to get them all on the buses and get that all coordinated and then get them all the way to the stadium. It's an hour and a half that they would be off.
Right, and that we would have time to work
Both those things. Like the businessman he is, I said, why do we want to go to the stadium to practice? You know, we're not playing there this week. It's not raining. The weather's good. He said, which was his reasoning, he said, well, we maintain that stadium. It costs a lot of money. And we have tours that go through the stadium where they bring people in. You pay to go through the stadium. He said, if the public hears that we might be practicing there one day, then we're going to get more people to go through that stadium. We're going to get more tours. We make a little more money to help pay for the stadium or keeping the stadium going. They didn't pay for the stadium, but keep it going. So we only use it half a NFL season. So, and they have to book other events and so forth. But anyway, part of the businessman of him, it says, hey, if the Cowboys are practicing there, maybe more people will go through, which is probably true.
Well, I thought one of the craziest things was we had in a normal NFL game week schedule, you know, you practice your Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then Saturday mornings you have your Saturday walkthrough. And you either fly out after that to your destination city or, you know, you have some time, you go home and you go to the team hotel at night. But we had a Saturday walkthrough at the stadium on the field with, I don't know how many fans were there. I mean, these things are generally like you're maybe walking through your openers on offense, your first 15 that you script, you know, for your base first and second down plays, and you're getting a little bit of situational work, make sure we get some of the situational plays that might come up that we haven't necessarily repped during the week. And we're in the huddle. I mean, it was one of the craziest things I've still ever been a part of. I mean, we're in the huddle, and the fans are 5 yards away from Tony Romo in the huddle. I mean, the people that were there that have video, they're all filming with their phones, and they got a great experience, absolutely. But I wasn't sure who was in the crowd filming all that stuff. You know, I know we're a little paranoid as coaches. And especially nowadays, I mean, social media. If someone just posts something on Twitter that someone happens to see and just, there's a reverse or something. You know, I mean, they can get something. And if you give an NFL guy a little bit of an edge, this could come, it could affect you. But I just thought that was crazy. I mean, like, people were literally, there was a security on the field holding a rope, and the fans were just standing behind this rope, like 5 yards from Tony Romo calling the plays in the huddle. And we only had half the field to work. I mean, it's a lot.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. I believe that was the time some of the field was painted, and they were painting the end zone. And so we could only have 50 yards for all, I guess we had 53 people or however many we had on the team at that time, but we had offense and defense and on 50 yards of the field trying to do their stuff. And it's a walkthrough, I understand that. But there wasn't a lot of room either. And like I say, it was roped off where you couldn't go into certain areas.
No, it was wild. I mean, I'm all for, hey, let's find ways to make money and let's push our brand, and he's done better than anyone. I mean, who am I to say? But I do think there is a line there where it can affect the football side.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what happened the next day. I don't know if we won or not. But yeah, and I certainly wouldn't blame it on one thing like that. But it is unusual. Not many owners would do that, and not many general managers would want their team doing that. Not many coaches would want it.
Right. I also remember this is kind of taking care of itself because of the collective bargaining with training camp and, you know, the way that two-a-days are now. You can't have consecutive padded practices. Players have to have a day off after every 4 days. They have to have a complete day off with no meeting. But at the time when you could have two-a-day practices when we were there, I remember you telling me about you know, scheduling the weekends.
Yeah, we were in Oxnard, and I had given Jerry the practice schedules when we were practicing, when we were off, you know, the whole schedule. And he came to me, and he said, Wade, we can't do this. And I said, what? He said, even if you just walk through a second practice, I need two practices on Saturday and two practices on Sunday. You can just take special teams out. I don't care. As one of the practices and walk through something. Not really official practice, but... And I said, we need two practices then? He said, yes. He said, that's when we sell our most merchandise. We had thousands of fans out there. We did in San Antonio when we were there too. So we did the same thing. But he said, that's when we make our most money. And I forget how much money they make on a weekend. Obviously, if they have two practices, they make more money. So they have four practices on the weekend, and that's what we did the whole time I was there.
Yeah, they had all those merchandise big trailers where they just pull them up to the outside of the and sell thousands and thousands of dollars worth of merchandise.
Yeah, it was important to him that we did that, so that's what we did.
Well, it worked. I know that we had quite a few fans. I mean, in general, I know the Cowboys had a history of practicing out in California, you know, even back when they were practicing at Cal Lutheran University in the Landry days.
Mm-hmm.
But he's definitely planted himself with a following in California. I mean, we would have thousands and thousands of people show up on the weekends, I mean, just to watch us. But he would also bring, you know, there'd be actors or, know, celebrities, other sports
Magic
figures.
Johnson, I don't remember Magic Johnson being there that one day, and he's 6'9". I mean, you don't realize a basketball player that plays point guard. He was a big, big man, you know, and actors and so forth. Like you said, there's a lot of people out there in California that would come by and see us practice or be around. It was fun. That part was fun. All of it was fun. I mean, again, he was going to have fun with whatever he did.
Absolutely. He does know how to enjoy himself. One of their, I guess, toys or practical for them is, you know, not everyone knows, but everyone in the business knows that's gone to the combine about the bus, the Cowboys bus, the bus that's got the huge star on the side, and they've had it for years. Emery, the bus driver, I'm sure he's signed a NDA and could never do it, but if he ever put out a book, I'd be first in line to hear some of the stories Emery's got from that bus.
We better hope he doesn't start a podcast. It might overshadow us, but and it goes to all parts of the country. I mean, it was in Oxnard. They drive it out to where they're going to be, and if they're in California for a while, like for training camp, and then they got the bus that they want to go to L.A. or anywhere, so they have that. And then the same thing at Indianapolis every year, you know, you'd see that bus. Of course, Jerry and whoever the coach is or whoever wants to get on it can get on it, or whoever he invites on it, I'll say.
Well, yeah, you know, I would just say if you are ever invited on the bus, you have to say yes, but know that it's probably going to be a late night. I do remember when we were both there at one point. I mean, I was maybe on the bus a couple times at my time there, but I remember we went out. Jerry always did a staff dinner at the combine at St. Elmo's.
Yes.
Always had the same room down in the basement. Like, I mean, I'm talking everyone who was at the combine, the doctors, the trainers, the coaches, the scouts, and it was always a great dinner. We'd have the St. Elmo's shrimp cocktail, and don't tell anyone if they've never eaten it, you know.
Yeah,
I remember Dat Wynn, just, we were all looking at him out of the corner of our eye, just waiting for him to eat that shrimp because it's so spicy.
Yeah.
And
yeah, the
he
shrimp
about
cocktail.
Cried. Yeah.
Yeah, it'll bring tears to your eyes, especially if you're not ready for it.
But we'd have a great meal, have some wine, whatever. And then we went out on the bus afterwards. And I remember it was funny because it was you, and there was only a couple, like, young coaches. It was me and then Bobby King, our defensive quality control, was there also. But we went to some club in Indianapolis, and definitely not your kind of place. It was kind of funny to me that you were in this club. I mean, it was a real dance club, loud. They get us in kind of a VIP section, but it's super loud. And Jerry ends up talking, you know, the owner says, hey, I have this other place, which is now kind of where everyone goes. I don't think it was called Prime 47 then, but I have this other bar. It's closed tonight, but I'll open it up for you and whoever you want to invite. Just for me, I mean, it was one of first or second year in the NFL, and we go from there over to this other club and open up this bar, and it's like me and our defensive quality control, and it's like all these head coaches, is, you know, John Fox and Sean Payton and Jeff Fisher and all these GMs and the Jones family, the owners, and it's like me and Bobby are sitting there just. I mean, it was a great night, you know. I mean, they were just pulling in whoever they wanted to, friends of theirs or whoever happened to be passing by that they wanted to be in the club there. But it was just a memorable night. I remember it was a late night, and the next morning I was watching the workouts from the stadium box, and I was kind of feeling my head was hurting a little bit, had some drinks, and, you know, I'd gotten in there, and then not long after, I mean, Jerry had been out all night, and he's, you know, however old he is, he comes bouncing in, you know, hey, man, hey, you know, good morning, man. He just comes bouncing in, you know, he's drinking some drink, I guess they give you when you have that much money to make you feel better or something, some green drink. But he came in, you know, I mean, that was just kind of him, though. I mean,
well, that's the way he is. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. And interestingly enough, we went to the Super Bowl with him. I'm talking about your mom and I went to the Super Bowl with the family. They've invited us to every Super Bowl that we were in Dallas. We wanted to go as a team, but we went to the Super Bowls with them on their private jet, and the bus was there. And so we rode on the bus everywhere. And then we go to these parties, you know, the parties they have at the Super Bowls. And we met John Travolta one time, you know, and talked to him and different celebrities and stuff. You know, they have those parties, and of course Jerry, you know, he's got invitations to all of them. They want him there, and they should. Tom Cruise was one of them. Yeah, I got to see people and talk to people you never think you'd talk to, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, when you're hanging out with Jerry.
Yeah, I remember one of the Super Bowls, the game was pretty much over in the fourth quarter, and they said, oh, well, okay, let's get on the bus so we can get on our plane and get out of here. So it's a way to travel, too, you know. In fact, we watched the game, the end of the game, in the bus, because it has a TV in there, as we were sitting on the runway to get to the plane. As soon as we saw it was over, then we got out, and, yeah, we went to the Super Bowl and enjoyed ourselves, and same thing. Talking about Jerry, I mean, all publicity is good publicity. I think he really believes that. He would laugh if on the crawl it said something about me. You know, say, well, Wade Phillips, you know, might be in trouble or whatever. And he'd laugh about that. And I said, I know you really believe all publicity is good publicity, but if that was you, I don't think you'd be laughing. and he'd laugh about that because, he just felt that way. I mean, you want to be in the limelight, and he certainly is and always has been.
Well, yeah. You know, their PR guy, Rich Dalrymple, I mean, he knows that his job is to protect Jerry. And head coach, you got to fend for yourself a little bit.
Yeah, you're out for yourself, that's for sure.
But yeah, you mentioned the Jets. He used to take the coaches and scouts, coaching staff, to the Senior Bowl. We'd all meet up at the Jet, and he'd have both of his Jets, and we'd just fly right there, and then you'd get to the Senior. I mean, it was really convenient. I mean, obviously, right, it's a private jet, but you'd get there. I mean, there'd be the rental cars are waiting with the hatchbacks open. Throw your stuff in and you're off, and then but he was a part of that too, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. He was a part of the Senior Bowl, he was a part of the meetings, talking about every player, you know, that was there and going through.
Well, he does his job, that's right. He certainly does. He stays with that. Now, we traveled with him to the Arkansas Derby. I think I told you about this, but we went to the Arkansas Derby. He wanted to go to the Arkansas, of course, he's from Arkansas and played at Arkansas, and he's popular everywhere, but especially in Arkansas, people all know him, know he's from Arkansas and owns the Cowboys. And he has the jet, but he has a big star on the back of the tail of the jet. You can recognize it. So we're going to the Arkansas. You and Laurie want to go to the Arkansas Derby with us? Said, sure, yeah, we like horse racing, you know. So we get on the plane, and we get close to the track, and he has the plane fly over the track and make a circle, and then goes to the airport and lands there. And of course, when we get to the track, Jerry, we saw your plane, you know, we knew you were coming, you know, and they're all patting him on the back. And that was really fun, but he knows how to make an entrance, and it really is fun to do that. I mean, it's Jerry, you know, it's the way he is. But there's more things about him that people don't know, especially family wise. When my dad passed away in 2013, I wasn't with the Cowboys. You were still there, right?
Yes.
Yes. And we had the funeral in Goliad, Texas, where he was, where he was ranching and lived. And Jerry Jones, speaking of private planes, took you and your family, I think you can tell that part of it, but he took you and your family and flew him in from Dallas to be at the funeral. He paid for all the food and stuff to be catered at the funeral. And I'll never forget him for that. I mean, we can tell the stories about this and that about him, but this is the real Jerry Jones. I mean, he's compassionate. When you're family, you're always family. And it was really special to me that he would do that. Again, I was fired by him. I wasn't like I was, and I was only there, you know, a few years. So, but anyway, that's what he did, and I'll never forget that, and I'll always appreciate that from him. And I don't want to ever say anything bad about him, and I wouldn't say anything bad about him. I mean, we talked about some of those things I didn't agree with or did, but that was something above and beyond that shows you what kind of person he is.
Yeah, and I was there for 7 years, and I mean, the longer you're there, you hear more and more stories like that from different people that did things for them that don't really get out into the news. I mean, for me, you know, like you said, 2013, it was in season. For our work schedules, it's not like you can't leave during a game week to go to a funeral, but each coach, each position has a role throughout the week. And the longer you're gone, I mean, it was going to be really difficult. Like you said, Goliad, Texas, I mean, you're going to have to fly commercial to San Antonio, rent a car, you know, with the family, two young kids, get there and then schedule something coming back. It was just and I mean, right off the bat, he brought me into his office, talked about Bum, you know, how sorry he was and what a great coach he was and personality and all that. And hey, this is what I'm going to do. You've got my jet and the pilots, they took us there. To the funeral, and they just waited there all day. I mean, but within 24 hours, within a game week, I mean, I was back in the office. But like you said, I just appreciated that so much. I'll always remember that as well. I mean, that'll stick with me forever as far as just him doing that for me and my family.
Yeah, well, that was for me and my family too. So yeah. You know, that'll always be appreciated. But I'm still going to tell some other stories on him too, but that's all right.
You know, we had kind of brushed on training camp out in Oxnard. What was the thinking there? He just liked to take the train. We'd always schedule the Chargers. Of course, we're still in San Diego, and they'd charter the train. We'd get some of the train cars for the team, and we always took the train down for that preseason game.
Yeah, I just think he liked that. I mean, I think he liked to go on the train. It was pretty scenic. I mean, he's going right along the Highway 1 all the way down, I mean, to San Diego. And I think he thought it was good for the team. You know, you're all together, and on the train, everybody played cards or interacted with each other, you know. It's a little bit harder on an airplane when you can't get up and walk around. I think he thought it was good for just the camaraderie, which I think it was too, to do that. And he always got in the back caboose back there, and sometimes they'd light up a big cigar in the back, but the same thing, he'd take everybody that was around that would like to go, he'd take them down there. In fact, I heard you made some money on one of those trips.
I did, yeah. There's a couple of the players. I had to play pretty tight because I didn't have quite the bankroll that some of these guys did, but I found a way to win me a couple hands.
Speaking of that does happen. The players playing for money, you got to watch it as a coach and a head coach especially, you know, that somebody doesn't get into money trouble by playing for too much money or a rookie losing all his money and can't pay for it or things like that. I remember way back, Bruce Smith on the airplanes, he'd always sit in the back and play blackjack, but he'd always be the dealer. And so he had a little advantage there. And but you do have to watch for that as a coach, that players, you know, they sometimes play for too much a hand, $1,000 a hand or something like that, something crazy, and all of a sudden the guy loses thousands of dollars that he shouldn't lose. Especially, it's just like a family or something. If you get problems by having things like that happen, so you got to watch for that.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of things that Jerry does are unique, and one of the things that I know doesn't happen anymore, but we got to do it once. Do you remember the Vegas trip?
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, he used to. I mean, my understanding was that it started when Jimmy Johnson was there, and maybe they did it through the Chan Gailey Campo days. I don't know how long it went, but I think it stopped with Parcells, and I think they were happy to bring it back. But it was after that. It was after the first year, wasn't it? Or it was after our first year there. And he took it was like the coach's trip, you know, it was like a camaraderie thing. But, you know, you take the jet and all the coaches and trainers and stuff, and we took both the jets and go out to Las Vegas for a weekend. And as soon as you get there, you're going in the VIP concierge, and they gave you like, I think it was $500, and, you know, in chips.
Yep.
Just could do what you want with it. You could gamble it, you could cash it in right there. We all ate as a staff. We stayed at the Hard Rock, and I mean, it was just an awesome deal. I mean, you can comment on the trip, but after that happened, okay, after our first year, we were 13-3, and then after the next year, it was 9-7, and then there were no more Vegas trips.
Yeah, at that time, I think there was something going on about corporations flying people, or corporations were getting in trouble for doing too much of that kind of stuff, and Jerry didn't want the perception, which is important to him, which should be, of us doing something like that. You know, that's why he said he stopped doing it. Again, Jerry's not tight. I mean, he's a generous person. I mean, he did. I mean, all the coaches, all the people were there. Everybody had a stack of chips, and if you didn't play, you just cashed them in and kept the money. You know, he paid for the rooms, he paid for the dinners, the whole deal. And I don't know how you can develop a relationship any better than that, to do things for people that they enjoy doing. I always thought it was great.
Yeah, apparently, I mean, this was before us. We never... Our wives were never privy to it, but I think it was when they were winning Super Bowls in, you know, early 90s. Apparently, they used to have a wives thing where everyone would go and he would rent out the clothes off the Neiman Marcus, and all the wives would have a certain allotment. I couldn't tell you how much.
Like I say, he's not a tightwad, or he's flamboyant, certainly, but he thinks about people and does things for them.
He certainly does. I've told people before, he knows all of the people in the building. I have noticed before, when I was working there, quality control, just my head down, passing him in these, you know, they had the big wide hallways, and he'd be walking with somebody, and I could tell he was busy, and he's talking to somebody, and, you know, just as you pass, he'd just kind of look over and just, "Hey, Wes," and then keep moving. Some owners don't even say hello to you, or, you know, they don't know who you are.
Yeah.
Specifically, he knows people. He develops relationships with people. But I always noticed that he just pass by in the hall, and he just, you know, "Hey, Wes."
Yeah. Well, I mean, he knows your family too. I mean, not just you because you're working there, but he knows your family. And my secretary, or gal that helped me, her mother worked for him, and now she worked with me.
Right, and that's, of course, Laura, and then Marilyn.
Yeah.
She worked for him in the oil business first, right?
Right.
And then she, I mean, there's a loyalty there as well, and she'd been there since he'd been the owner, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The whole family thing is throughout his business. Whether it's oil business or all the other business he has, I don't know all of them, but he knows the people in it, you know, and not just the big people.
Right.
You know, same thing with players. He, you know, I've been around people that they chum up to, you know, Reggie White, but, you know, they don't know anybody else. And Jerry wasn't that way. I mean, he knew the all the little people, you might call them, they're not little people to him, they're not to me either, but I mean, it's people that work as assistant trainer or assistant strength and conditioning or all those kind of people. He knows them all, he knows them by name, and he'll talk to them about stuff too. What do you think about stuff? And he'll ask their opinions too. So he's always gathering information.
Do you think he ever listens to players too much?
I don't know. I mean, he judges how much he values everybody's opinion. It's different for each person. I think it's different for each head coach, I'm sure. You know, how much he valued mine as to Parcells, as to Jason. And the scouts the same way, he does the same way. You know, some of them he values their opinion on wide receivers more than he does offensive linemen. And what they do I think he probably does the same thing with players. I mean, if Jason Witten says something, he takes that to heart more than he would somebody else that he doesn't value their opinion as much.
Sure, sure. You know, I've tried my best to do an impression of Jerry a couple times. So it just made me think about the big radio station there in Dallas, the Ticket. You know, they have the fake Jerry. You know, they say it's the sincerest form of flattery is imitation.
Yeah.
What did you think about fake Wade when you were in Dallas?
Well, if it is the best you can say about somebody, you know, that I said they're doing it, they did a hell of a job with me because they must love me because I thought it was funny. You got to take it with a grain of salt and you can't have a chip on your shoulder, but you know, that's what they do for a living.
Yeah, yeah, that is what they do then, yeah.
That's what they do. Some of them do it better than others.
I did want to ask, you know, there's not many owners or GMs. I mean, you don't see GMs doing interviews after a game or in the off season or after training camp practice or talking to the team after games. That's just kind of unique to the Cowboys. There's not many places where the owner's going to come in and really give a speech. You know what I mean? They,
right.
They may say something to the guys. You know, how did you feel about just Jerry in general, like after games? Or I know sometimes, you know, we talked about expectations, I think, previously, how we as coaches would rather have the expectations a little bit lower and exceed them, you know, whereas Jerry just may do an interview and say, hey, Super, you know, he says the word Super Bowl, you know, and
yeah. I think, you know, and I've said this before, and it's not a detriment on Jerry, but I do think every year, if you don't win the Super Bowl, it's not a good year. Like I said, even the year we went to the playoffs and they hadn't been there in 11 years and won, that wasn't a great year. And his expectations are so high every year that there's going to be disappointment because you're not going to the Super Bowl every year and you're not going to win it every year. He had a big run there early. I think for a while he thought it was easier than it was. I think now he knows how hard it is. But he's still striving, and you can't say that's bad. I mean, he's still striving to win a Super Bowl. Yeah, he wants to win the division. Yes, he wants to be in the playoffs. Yes, he wants to win playoff games. But that Super Bowl, it's eluded him for a long, long time, but he still tries to get it. And he tries to shoot for it, which is great. And I do think with owners, you know, how much cash money they put into it is a direct correlation as to some of the players you get.
Mm.
Now, I do think coaching is important or I wouldn't be in it. But Jerry, if he thinks a player that he can get, he'll go after him. You know, he'll pay the money to get him, you know, if he thinks that's going to help his team win the Super Bowl, not just be better. And he and Daniel Snyder have taking their own planes and flown guys back and forth and tried to get certain players, I know, through the years. But you like that about the guy. He wants to try to win. And, again, he's on the inside because he's general manager, but he's on the outside because he's the owner. And he's got to worry about two different jobs, basically. General manager is one job and owner is different.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, owners, you know, money's involved in that. He's got to make those decisions. But a lot of times he makes them because he wants to win and tries to get a player that he thinks who other people have convinced him we're going to help him win it all, really.
Well, that is the nice thing too about, you know, him holding both those roles. If you, you know, I don't want to say convince him, but if he believes that you need a guy, you don't have to. It doesn't have to go, the head coach wants him, and then I tell the GM, and the GM says, okay, I want him, and let's see if the owner will pay for it. If he decides, kind of take out the middleman there. And
that's exactly it. I mean, I've been in different situations, and when I was with Buffalo, I was a vice president of football operations, and Ralph Wilson made me that so I could talk directly to him rather than going through the general manager to get certain things done. Mm-hmm. And so that's really what you are there. I mean, you know, you don't have to go through a general manager to get the owner. All you have to do is talk to Jerry if you want something done, or if you want somebody drafted or whatever. Want to move up in the draft? You know, we did that with him too, because you just say, Jerry, I think this guy's the best player on the board, and we need to go up and get him. He says yes or no. I mean, that's mm-hmm. You don't have to go through a general manager or the owner or anybody else. He's all the same guy.
Yeah, he's
I think it's a lot more efficient that way, certainly.
Oh, no question.
And that's how we got Dez Bryant. We were in the draft, and I told Jerry, I said, look, I think Dez Bryant is the best player on the board right now, and I know he's not going to get to us. If you want a receiver, we had all said he was a really good receiver, which he was, I think, proved out to be. And so he moved up to get Dez Bryant. Mm-hmm. But again, I didn't have to argue with the general manager and say, well, no, I don't think he is. You think he is, or whatever. He knew it all along that everybody liked him. So that's what we did.
Wow. Well, I think we just filled a show with, and we could probably fill 10 more of them with all the stories of Jerry Jones. But it was great hearing some of those today. And, you know, I'm sure we'll revisit another time.
Oh, yeah. Jerry will always come up, I think, sometime.